meaning a lot of sickness and disease, is because you do not discern the Lord's body worthy. Now here's what that means. When you break this bread, while you are here in His presence, ask Him to forgive you of any offenses that you may have had, you haven't resolved, that you know you should have. Just ask Him now, forgive me. Ask Him now, forgive me. Forgive me of that. Forgive me what I said. Forgive me how I acted. Forgive me the way I behaved. Forgive me. And that blood is worthy. I promise you, it's worthy. It's worthy. It's worthy. I said the blood is worthy, praise the Lord. Now lift up that wafer. And if you have your heart cleansed, just break it if you can. His body was broken so that His spiritual body would not be broken. Come on, somebody. There should be no schisms in the body. We're going to disagree, but that's okay. But there shouldn't be any schisms. Partake of the body. He said, do this often in remembrance of me. Why? Because His body was broken so that His spiritual body would have no schisms in it at all. Amen? After He had taken the bread and broken it and passed it around, He then poured the wine into the cup and He said, this is the blood of the New Testament. There's no power in the wafer you just ate, just eaten. There's no power in this grape juice that you're going to drink, except that it represents the body of Jesus and it represents the blood of the Lamb. His blood was shed so you can have union and fellowship with your Heavenly Father. So you can crawl up in His lap and you can commune with Him and love on Him and enjoy His presence. And most of all, He can enjoy your presence, praise the Lord. Take the cup and drink ye all of it. Praise the Lord. Sing it with her. Go ahead and finish it out, sister.
The Father's arms are open wide.
Yes.
Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Glory to God.
Oh, come to the altar.
Hallelujah.
The Father's arms are open
wide.
Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Bought with the precious blood of Christ.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Bear your cross as you wait for
your
crown.
Appreciate that.
Tell the world of the treasure you found. Jesus is calling. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Loranda, for that spontaneous response. Appreciate that. Glory to God. Amen. We're going to be teaching on communion in the months coming up. That's a very powerful moment. If you are experiencing sickness and disease, you ought to take communion, but there's a way you should take communion. You have to understand that His body was broken. By His stripes, you were healed. And when you take that communion, you're saying, I believe that these stripes were worthy. And I believe I'm healed. That's how you discern the Lord's body worthy. When I still feel pain in my body. Discern the Lord's body worthy. I declare I'm healed.
I don't care what my body feels like. Man, I've walked around with pain in my body, and I just said very quietly to myself, I'm healed anyway. I'm healed. It's not because of what my body feels like. It's what he has already done. And his blood has been shed. Those stripes were laid on his back. I am healed. Well, tonight we're going to continue with our message. And what have we been talking about? Worship. Why am I spending so much time on worship? Because I'm telling you, his presence is what you need in this day and hour. Where the world is, what's going on in the world, you need to be in the presence of God as much as you possibly can. Don't get me wrong, I still pray in them other tongues. I can still go in them other tongues for a couple hours. But there's something about worshiping him out of my spirit and being in his presence. My faith has skyrocketed. I've learned to trust him like I never have before. And all I've done is just sit around and tell him, I love you. I worship you. I glorify you. And I say it with everything in my heart. But God wants to fellowship with us as our Father. He wants intimate fellowship, because when you have intimate fellowship, then the grace of God is released into your life, and God exchanges your weaknesses for his strength. Yes. He exchanges your standing for his, just because you give him praise. If you want scripture for that, go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. I'm not going to go over there now, but the Apostle Paul says, therefore will I glory in my tribulations. I'm at my weakness, the power of Christ may rest upon me. The Father desires a relationship with us that will ultimately lead us to really loving him as our Father from our heart. This is where the church has to get to. Not worshiping him because you go to the church ABC on the corner or the certain whatever church it is. No, he wants you to become to know him, that to worship him from your heart. And when you arrive at this place, what? Being able to worship him from your heart on a continual basis, knowing him intimately as your Father, we'll be in a place where, now get this, where all things are possible to him that believes, Mark 9:23. That's where you're being led to. That's the charge that he's given me in this teaching of worship, is to lead you. Now, note I said I'm to lead you there. I'm not to beat you there. I'm not to drag you there. I'm not to coax you there. I'm to lead you there. How? By teaching it and by doing it. By being an example of what that means. By embodying that in front of you so you can see what it looks like to worship God. Unashamedly. Come on, somebody. Jesus said these words. He says, Jesus said this unto the man who had the child with the infirmity. He says, Jesus told him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believes. There's a place for the born-again child of God where all things are possible to them that believe. And I believe that belief is hooked up very closely with you being able to spend time with him on a one-on-one basis. Because in this place where you really love him with all of your heart, all things are possible. Having said that, let me say this. He cannot love himself in you for you. He cannot love himself in you for you. You have to love him for yourself. He's gave you a nature. He's given you the love. You have to love him. Well, how do I love him? Man, you must be under a rock when I'm teaching. Can I demonstrate it one more time? I love you. I worship you. I magnify you. And your own mind is going to start saying, you're just repeating yourself and nobody's listening. God doesn't care. See, that's your flesh trying to talk you out of private worship. When you came into the kingdom of God, you entered in like a newborn baby that came into the world in the natural. But what you received was not the nature of Adam, but rather the nature of your heavenly Father. Jesus said these words in Matthew 18:3. Verily I say unto you, except ye can be converted and become as a little child or as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of God. Now let me ask you a question. If you go over to Matthew 21, what were those children doing in the temple? They were just going, they were crazy about Jesus. They were shouting and singing, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. And man, they were unashamed because they didn't fear being kicked out of the synagogue, although the parents probably did. They were more concerned about being excommunicated. Now, isn't this interesting that they were singing this in the temple, Hosanna, Hosanna. They were in the temple singing this. Who is now the temple of God? Preach, somebody. Come on, somebody. If that don't lock it up for you, I don't know what will. Praise the Lord. This new nature we receive, that we got the day we were born again, it is exactly like the Father. And he also made you a partaker of his divine nature. The nature that you receive is just like God. You have the exact same nature that he has. Now, let's get it straight. You'll never be equal to him in his deity. But anything that Jesus did in his humanity, come on with it. We got that. We can do that. Come on, somebody. It is in this nature that we know that we now have the capacity to reservoir, to reservoir. Do you know what the word reservoir means? It means holding a whole lot of something. Okay, I'm holding a whole lot of something. So your spirit has the capacity to reservoir and develop the love of God that you love him with. He gave you the nature, but he cannot come in you and love himself in you for you. He gave you all the equipment, but he can't make you love him. You have to choose to love him for yourself. Amen. And I understand religion has made it difficult for us to love God. What I mean by that is we've made it as though I can only love God on Sunday morning. That's not true. That's just not true. Now, many wait for a whole week to love on God. I love on God all the time. Last weekend, we celebrated Easter. I don't celebrate Easter once a year. I celebrate Resurrection Day every day. He's the king every day. He comes in my temple every day, and I give him praise and glory and honor him and worship him. Every day he's king. Every day he gets my praise. Every single day. All of the limits imposed on the Old Testament saints, all of the limits that were imposed on the Old Testament saints were because they had a fallen nature. But now those limitations have been removed from you and I so far as God is concerned. See, they couldn't worship God in spirit. Why couldn't they worship God in spirit? They didn't have a nature. Now, let me ask you a question. Well, let me say it like this. There was this man who had a wolf as a pet. And he raised this wolf from a puppy. This wolf got to be 145, 150 pounds. He could stand on all four legs and eat off of the countertop in the house. He was a big fella. He's a big fella. The problem is he had the nature of a wolf. So when they would go to sleep at night, the wolf dog would sneak toward the neighbor's chickens and have him a treat. Now listen. So the owner put him on a chain and restrained him by law. This is the exact same thing that God did with the Jews. God had to give them law because he couldn't fellowship with them like he can you and I. He could only fellowship them as far as he could with the blood of bulls and goats. But we know in Hebrews it says that no blood, the blood of bulls and goats, can never remove the sin of our lives. Only the blood of Jesus. So God could not commune and fellowship with them the way he wanted to. In the same way, that owner of that dog, that wolf dog, he had to put him on a chain to restrain him. God put the Old Testament saints on a chain called the law. That was the only way he could restrain them. Because they didn't understand what sin was. The Bible says they didn't know what sin was. When the law came, they were like, so what is sin? They would never have known they were sinning had it not been for the law. But the law was good. We look at the law on this side and say, man, that was kind of awful. No, God had to restrain them so he could fellowship with them in some kind of fashion. But those limits have now been removed. That's the point I want to get to now. Your nature, the thing you receive when you got born again, it has an unlimited capacity to develop and release the love of God from all of your heart. It is God's desire that you come into the fullness of his love and know his love before you leave the earth. There was a man by the name, I think his name was Bob Phillips. Who was the guy that was one of Rick Warren's prophets? I think it was Bob Phillips. Bob Phillips was he died maybe 2 years ago, I think. Did anybody even know who I'm talking about? It's not Phillips? Okay, but you know what I'm talking about. He wrote a book, and he went to heaven one day, huh? Bob Jones, that's it, you got it. He went to heaven one day, and when he got to heaven, it was the question that they asked him, have you learned to love? Say, you didn't get it. You didn't get it. The only thing, this man was a prophet. This man was a spokesperson for God while on the earth. This man, God would show this man things that were going to happen in the earth. And he was very, very, very accurate. Very accurate. But the first thing that they asked him when he got to heaven wasn't, wow, you had a great ministry. Wow, were you excited about that? They didn't ask him that. They asked him, did you learn to love? Ladies and gentlemen, you got to first learn to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Amen. Then you will learn to love your neighbor as yourself. Amen. If the church is missing it in any way, when it comes to walking in miracles, when it comes to doing the Great Commission, and by the way, how many of you in here know, by a show of hands, how many of you know what the Great Commission is? We need to fix that. They did a poll just recently on Easter, and they found out that 70% of the church did not know what the Great Commission was. Now, I'm not saying you should be embarrassed over that, but the Great Commission is just simply going out in all the world and make disciples. Not make new converts, make disciples. So I was going to trick you up. I was going to say, so if you know what the new commission is, are we doing it? And most of you would have said, yeah, we get people saved every day. That's not the Great Commission. Wow. The Great Commission is to go out into all the world and make disciples. Amen. This is making disciples.
Hallelujah.
Now, here's the thing. You've been given the kind of information to become a disciple. You have to decide to engage in being a disciple.
Amen.
Takes effort on your part. Amen.
Amen.
There was another statistic. Do you want to? Now, this one is kind of harsh. Do you want to hear it?
Yes.
90% of children will view pornography before the age of 14. Now, we say, wow, you know why I say that? Where is the church in this? Where's the church? See, this is why we're going to teach on contending for the faith. The church has lost its power. I said the church has lost its power. We need the power of God is available to us. And we're going to have to get on our faces and get on our knees and begin to love God and begin to restore the power that was once first given to the church. God didn't take it back. He didn't come and repo it. He didn't come and say you didn't make your payments. No. We have just let it down. And you know how they lost it? Because men with flowery speech crept in and gave us a religious gospel.
Amen.
We're going back to it, ladies and gentlemen.
Praise the Lord.
Okay, let me go back to my message. So to clarify, if you receive the new nature, then you have received the mind of Christ. Am I getting ahead of myself? Yes. How many of you here received the new nature? How many of you been born again? If you haven't, let me know. I'll get you born again real fast. Okay? You have also received the mind of Christ. Now, what do I mean by the mind of Christ? We don't have Christ's personal mind, but we have the mind of a new creation that we received when we received our new nature. The mind that I received in my new nature is not Christ's personal mind. However, it is a mind just like his. It's very similar to his. Not only do I have a nature like his, but I also have a spiritual mind that, now here's the thing about the mind of Christ. Get this, because most church people don't understand this. Now you have a mind that you can discern and understand spiritual things. See? See, if I were to tell people I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me just slow down. Now, understand this also. Old Testament saints, they could not discern like you can. You've got a very special gift that God's given you. So let's talk about the personal mind of Christ. Now, the only person that carries the personal mind of Christ, that is Christ's personal mind. In other words, how he thinks right now today. You have the mind of Christ, but you have the mind of Christ of the new creation. You don't have Christ's personal mind. And let me spend some time on that, because I see some of you getting a little bit confused with me. You have the mind of Christ, meaning you have the ability to hear Christ's personal mind. Now, I'm getting ahead of myself, but how many of you pray in tongues? Everybody's hand should go up. How many of you can pray in tongues while you're reading the Word of God? Well, when you're doing that, you're tapping into the personal mind of Christ. In other words, he ever liveth to make what? Intercession for you. So as you begin to pray in the Spirit, you begin to tap into that mind, and he begins to reveal you what? The plans and purposes that you should be pursuing.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. And you don't have time to pray. Shame on you. Well, I'm sorry. I maybe hate when I say that. So you should have time to pray. Again, when you're praying in tongues, the Holy Spirit is taking the mind of Christ. In other words, his personal mind. And he is praying exactly what is in Christ's personal mind for this day, this hour, for this moment. In other words, what's exactly in his mind for your edification. So never think God doesn't know where you are. He knows what you're struggling with. But there's a mechanism he's giving you how to exchange the weakness that you're in right now, or the struggle you're in right now, for his strength. And how do you exchange that? By God giving God praise. But the thing is, you can tap into, this is the point I want to make, you have the ability as a tongue-talking Christian to tap into the personal mind of Jesus Christ. And you don't have time to pray. And you can't seem to force yourself to pray. The Holy Spirit, when you're praying in other tongues, he's praying for your life. He's praying over the plans that God has assigned for you. He's praying over your pursuits, your equipping, your calling, the power that you need to fulfill that calling. And he's also revealing to you things about the faith that he's already placed in you, that you're called to walk in. Whatever is in the personal mind of Christ, which is which is in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the only person besides God the Father that has the personal mind of Christ. They're three in one. They can read each other's mind. They can complete each other's sentences. But the Holy Spirit is here in the earth today, and one of his jobs, one of his job descriptions is to reveal Christ's mind to you and also to help you develop the mind of Christ that is in your new nature. You have a mind of Christ. It's not the personal mind of Christ, but it's called the mind of the new creation. As I go on, I'm going to explain some more of that here in a moment. So I just need to make sure that you're still with me and I didn't lose anybody, okay? But here's the best thing. Because you have the mind of Christ, the mind of the new creation, you are now able to understand what the Holy Spirit is praying when he reveals it to you. And now get this, now you can become those things. Glory to God. You can be them. You can be them. In other words, you can literally change wherever you are. You don't have to stay where you're at. You don't have to stay there. You can now become what Christ says you are. You can be the overcomer. You can be the more than a conqueror. You can be the one that's been made prosperous. You can be the one that's been made healed and whole. You can be all of that. But you're going to have to spend time with God. You got to spend time fellowshipping with God. You got to spend time in commune with God. See, just because we took that grape juice and that wafer, that's called communion. That just simply means I'm communing with God. It is something, it's an outward act that I do that God looks in my heart and go, he's serious. He's serious about this. This is why when you take communion, you got to be careful to make sure there's no alt, there's no dissension amongst other brethren that you know of. Now, if you did something and you forgot all about it, I mean, he's not gonna hold that against you. But when he brings it to your attention, man, I had one of them moments this morning. I'm in the bathtub and I'm going, say what? I just sat there, man. I said, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Uh-huh. Yes, sir. Really? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You don't argue with him. I don't have to argue with him anymore. I just say, yes, sir. I'm changing. I don't argue with him. And when I came out of that bathroom, I went, whew, I thank you for that time. I thank you for that moment. See, who he loves, he corrects. See, I really had my communion this morning in that bathroom. That's when I had my communion. I cleaned my heart out then and made sure I didn't have nothing else to. I didn't want to give. Leave me alone, y'all. Don't cross my path. No, I'm kidding. Let's talk about what it means to spiritually discern. The natural man, a person who is not born again, cannot understand the things of God because they are spiritually discerned. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, and here's what it says. It says, but the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. See, when I'm talking like this, people that hear me go, what in the world? I've had people that I've turned on to Dave Roberson. You know what they told me? Pastor, I can't understand what he's saying. I said, did you get the Chinese version or the Spanish version? What do you mean? He goes, Pastor, he's talking in English, but I don't understand a word he's saying. You know what I told him? You just got to grow some more. Amen. That's all. Amen. Let me tell you something else. Mm-hmm. There'll come a point in time, this is where I'm at. You can't find nothing on cable you want to watch. It ain't worth a dime. Amen. It ain't worth, I can't find nothing. I went out, I turned off DirecTV, so I went and got DirecTV Now. I'm flipping that thing, I'm going, no. I'm finna turn it off. And the Lord told me, he says, it's not because you didn't used to like this, you used to love this. But now your heart's changing, you don't have any room for this. That's when you know you're growing. I don't have any interest in it anymore. I just have no interest in it anymore. Now, you know what turns me on most of all? Watching somebody rebuild a car. That I just love to watch. Don't ask me. I just love to watch it. Just love things mechanical. But when it comes to all that sleeping with this person and who's hanging out with that person and who's got all the riches and glory and what's that one, the wives of New York and the wives of Texas and the wives, I'm going, I ain't got time for that mess. Now, I may have misquoted the titles of those things, but you know what I'm talking. Those of y'all that spend time on, I didn't misquote them? Yeah, well. Nah. I guess I'm getting myself in trouble, but the bottom line is I just don't have an appetite for that stuff anymore. If I can't watch me some Gunsmoke, and I'm going to tell you something, I'm going to lose my appetite for Gunsmoke. I mean, I'm going to lose my appetite for that stuff. This just doesn't appeal to me anymore. There's nothing wrong with it. It just doesn't appeal to me anymore. Why? Because my nature is developing more, and the more I get close to Him, the more I spend time worshiping Him, the more He's changing me on the inside. Amen. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I'm loving it.
Amen.
I'm loving it.
Go ahead now.
I'm loving it.
Yes, sir.
Glory to God. So the natural thing, the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God because why? They're foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they're spiritually what? Discerned. So what does spiritually discerned mean? In these verses that the Apostle Paul is using here, he is explaining to us that the natural man cannot understand, he can only understand the word physically or literally, because he doesn't realize that the word is an allegory or a metaphor. In other words, contained within the word is a hidden message. Example, a temple made without hands. Therefore, to be spiritually discerned is to look beyond the physical and into the realm of the spirit. As Jesus was quoted as saying, the kingdom of God comes without observation, meaning you can't see it. You can talk about the kingdom of God and people go, what are you talking about, the kingdom of God? Now, here's how I know when you know what you're talking about. Many people refer to the kingdom of God as heaven. It is not. It is not. There are two separate things. The kingdom of God is the kingdom that Jesus is king over. In other words, he rules and reigns in a kingdom very similar to what Satan has. Now, I'm not putting them on the same level. I'm just drawing you a picture that that's where they operate. They operate in the realm of the spirit. Now, which world is more powerful, the natural or the spirit? Now, if you are a natural man, you're going to say this natural man, the natural world is more powerful than the spiritual world. Wrong. This world came from that world. All right, let me test your understanding again. Which came first, the chicken or the egg? Which came first? Now, stay with the same thought. Just think this through. Look in your heart. Which came first, the chicken or the egg? Well, let me ask you a question. Did the eggs just start falling out of the sky? So God created a chicken first and placed it on the earth, did he not? And then here comes the eggs. But see, I discerned that several years ago, because there was this big debate on the egg came first. No, it did not. Now, if you say the egg came first, well, then you must believe in the Big Bang theory. And there was no Big Bang because there was nobody to make a Big Bang. And he wasn't banging. He was just simply speaking. And when he spoke these things into existence by the power of his word. Therefore, if one who is spiritual is one who can discern and know the inner meaning because of your new nature, the Holy Spirit is able to reveal the inner meaning to you. In other words, it's been revealed to you. Now, let me say this. This is going to be kind of funny, but I'm going to say it anyway. Let's say you get married. A man marries his wife. They courted for maybe 6 months or so, and he marries his woman. And man, they get home, and he thinks he knows who this girl is. But he forgot to pull the seat down after he got done with the toilet. So, man, she comes into the bedroom. Her head is spinning around. Green stuff is coming up. The nails are coming off. The hair is coming out. And he's going, whoa. Well, she just revealed herself to him.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. But in the same way, God can reveal himself to you just as explicitly as I just described.
Amen.
See, God wants you to reveal himself to you. Ladies and gentlemen, knowledge is not enough. In the day and hour in which we live in, knowledge is not enough.
Yes,
you just can't read your Bible and go to church and nod your head and think, I got it. It's not enough.
Amen.
This is why many Christians are hurting and they're wondering, where is God? You have got to know who he is. How do you get to know somebody? You spend time with them. How do you spend time with God? May I demonstrate a couple of them. Shelo kebreno, kashelo kebreno krasha. That's example number one. Example number two, I worship you and I glorify you and I magnify your name. That's example number two. You start doing those two things, he'll start revealing himself to you. Now, don't start comparing your revelation with some other watered-down Christian. Because they're going to hate your revelation. Why? They want you to be as lukewarm as they are.
Amen.
I'm not going there with you. Now, you can come around me with all that lukewarm. I'm going to go, amen, yes, yes, okay, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Yes, sir. Why? Because I'm not going to get an offense. I'm not going to be offended for you, over you. Now, I may try to correct you, but if you go, blah, 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 I'm going to go, oh, whatever you say. Okay, great. Not a problem with me. But I understand some things. I've learned some things. And just because you've been sitting in the church for 30, 40, 50 years means diddly to me. If you have not been sitting before you, my Heavenly Father, if you don't know him as Father and all you know him as God, you don't know him. I don't have to. I'm not going to apologize for that. You don't know him. He is your Father, and you've got to become. You've got to get to know him as your Father, not as God. That's who he is. But he's also Jehovah. He's also justice. He's also sovereign. He's a lot of things. But most of all, to me, he's Father. And I've made a healthy transition to where I know him as my Father. So when the tests and trials of life begin to come and beat on my house, beat on, monkey. Because my house ain't going to fall. Now, the guy's house over there, it may shake a little bit and crumble, but my house is going to stand. And I may be going through the same storm that you're going through, but my house is going to stand. Amen, somebody. Oh, praise the Lord. The lack of the new creation, the Old Testament saints, limited the relationship that the Father could have with them. He didn't have a new nature to work with them like you have. Also, we have the mind of the new creation. Therefore, we have a spiritual mind that can now discern and understand spiritual things. So when God begins to whisper to you, come away with me. Don't sit there and say, but do you know what time I got in last night? Do you realize them babies kept me up all night long? Do you know that my husband, he just kept me up all night long? Don't sit, just go, God, I'm coming.
Amen.
I'm a little tired, but I'm coming.
Amen.
I'm a little weary, but I'm coming.
Amen.
And I promise you, when you begin to start communing with him, he'll learn to live out of the inward person. That life in you doesn't get weary.
Amen.
That life in you doesn't get tired. Now, you do need rest, and I'm not going to tell you that God has delivered you from sleep. What I'm telling you is this. There is a life in you that doesn't grow dim. It doesn't get weak. It doesn't fade at all.
Amen.
Not at all. Now, so it is the job of the Holy Spirit to reveal the Father to you so that you can begin to learn and understand spiritual things. This is his basic calling of the Holy Ghost, is to lead and guide you into all truths. There are two parts of your creation. Now, what I mean by creation, how many of you know what, I think it's maybe 2 Corinthians 5:17? If any man be in Christ, is that 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians? 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he's a what? Old things have passed away and what? So I'm talking about the new creation. The new creation is made up of two individual things. First, it is made up of the, it is made up, well, let me say this. The mind of a new creation, it's able to help you discern and understand spiritual things so that you can begin to walk closer with God. Because if you ask somebody and they don't know where you're going, they've never been there, they're going to give you some wild answer out of their head. But if I can trust God, the Holy Ghost, to give me the straight answer, and let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen, there is not a question that you can ask the Holy Spirit that he won't answer. Amen. Now, here's the problem. He ain't going to put a roof on a house with no walls and no foundation. Do you know what I mean by that? You've got to develop some walls. You've got to lay a foundation. Paul said on this foundation, let no one else build anything different. So you got to have a foundation. Amen. Amen. Before we were saved, now here is your sin nature. Before you were saved, your sin nature would enslave your mind and force your mind to serve it. This is what Romans 7:19 is about. Romans 7:19 says something like this. The good that I would want to do, I do not. The bad, the evil that I would not want to do, that I do. Oh, wretched man that I am, I'm paraphrasing, who will deliver me from all this mess? And my point is that the Old Testament saint had a fallen nature, and that fallen nature would enslave their minds and make them serve sin. Are you with me? A fallen man, because his fallen nature would make him serve sin, he didn't know he was committing sin until God introduced the law. And then when he tried to stop sinning, he couldn't. Okay? Why? Because he had become a slave to his nature. But not so with us. Now that you've been born again, we now have a nature. Now get this. That immerses your mind into the very life of God. Well, how does that happen? I give you praise. I worship you. I magnify you. When you begin to give God praise like that, there are three things that are affected. First, your spirit is being saturated with God's presence. The second thing that's affected is your emotional realm. And the fourth thing that is affected is your physical realm. How many of you know what a man called by the name of Smith Wigglesworth is? See, Smith Wigglesworth used to walk into a restaurant and he walked by somebody, brush up against him, and they'd fall on the ground. My God, man, who are you? I'm convicted of my sin. They want to get born again. Amen. When you spend time with God, wow, the very same thing is going to happen to you. Glory. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's where the church is headed. Amen. That's where God wants the church to go. Spiritually, that's where God is trying to direct us. Amen. He doesn't want us to go out there and be all this, you know, self-righteous individuals. He wants you to walk into a place and the power of God comes with you and that power consumes the place and you go, everybody listen to me, ding 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 on your glass, I noticed you didn't pray over your meal, we're gonna pray right now. And they all go and bow their heads. Why? Because that power is in there. You brought it in with you. I'm sorry I get excited about this. But that's where God is trying to take the church. And to get there, all, you know what he's saying? Just spend time with me. Just spend some quality time with me. Just pull apart. And you and I, just love on each other. Because you've got to, here's what you have to understand. This, you've got to get this before you get to heaven. You've got to understand how much God loves you. You've got to understand it. Now, here will be one indication when you understand how much God loves you. The worst thing that can happen to you will happen to you, and you'll be like, Ain't no big thing. He loves me, and he's going to get me out of there some kind of way. I don't know how he's going to fix it this time. That ain't my job. My job is for him to keep loving. It's to keep believing he loves me. Amen. Now, when we get there, the world's going to see a church it's never seen before. It may not be the biggest church. You may not be the prettiest saint. You may not be dressed the best. But when you walk in with that power, they're going to go, my God, you are one of his children. There's not going to be any second guessing about it. There's not going to be any, well, you know, that's Pastor Craig. That's the guy that goes over to Lakewood Church. You know, he ain't got no power. I don't know what you're talking about. But when he walked by me, when he laid his hands on me, the power of God. Come on, somebody. You know what I'm saying? When these singers begin to sing, the anointing of God is going to come out of their spirit, and people that are here, they're going to go, oh, I don't know why I'm crying, but I can't help myself. I'm just crying. Oh, I'm dead. Oh, Lord, help me, Jesus. We're going to be a mess. Why? Because of that power that they bring and usher in. That's where the church is headed. And I'm going to tell you something. This is why we're teaching on contending for the faith. We're bringing this power. We're going to usher this power back into the church. We are not going to leave it out there. And God's not going to get to heaven and go, oh, well, no. Man, every day I think about this moment. When I walk into heaven, I pray. I don't look into them olive green eyes of Jesus and go, and he goes, I don't want to see that. I want to see a smile, and I want to hear these words. Well done. That's what I want to hear. Well, to do that, I know he's already given me us a requirement to hear that. We're going to have to walk in the power of God. Stephen and Philip did. The Apostle Paul did. The apostles did. All of them walked in the power of God. I'm going to wrap up by saying this. How many of you saw the movie Paul the Apostle? Okay. Now here's, I was telling my wife, I said, now here's one scene I think they should have put in there. Okay, and the scene that they had in there wasn't really in the Bible. So, but here's the scene I think they should have put in there. Paul, I think, is Silas. They've just been beaten. And they've been thrown inside the jail. There's so many gates going back to where they were. They couldn't have got out unless there was an earthquake. But they went in there. And here's what most people think they should have said. God, now we're preaching the gospel. And you mean to tell me we end up in this 4-foot cell behind all these bars and then our feet's in stock and our hands in chain? And you're telling me this is our reward? God, what's going on? Have you forgotten about Paul and I? Now, see, that sounds kind of ridiculous, doesn't it? But here's what Paul and Silas did. They raised up their hands, and they began to go, we worship you. Amen. We magnify you. We glorify you. And the Bible said the prison was shaken, and all the doors just swung open, and everybody began to march out. Once again, folks, that's where we're headed. Amen. They won't be able to put you in any kind of prison because you'll walk out before they get there. I mean, you'll go in there and you'll be out and they'll be like, he was here 2 seconds ago. Because all the power on you. Amen. The world is, the devil is afraid. He's very afraid. Now, I'm going to tell you something. When you begin to spend time with God like this, you make the devil very nervous. Very nervous. You know how I know you make him nervous? Because stuff will start coming against you and you're going, what in the world? Amen. You ought to know he's nervous. Amen. Over what you're doing. Amen. You're taking back territory. You're taking back ground. But don't be fearful. Just hold your ground and continue to worship God. Stay in his presence. Stay committed to him. And I promise you, he's going to pull you through. Going to pull you through. Amen. To quote my pastor, do you receive it tonight? Hallelujah. Well, I didn't get to finish, so I'll finish it next week. That was part one, and there's part two. So we'll finish this up next week. Now, I'm going to ask this, but I don't think anybody does, but yeah, I just never know. Does anybody need a touch from God? Are